Would you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 37? Psalm chapter 37 this morning. Throughout our lives, we gain all sorts of different titles and descriptions of who we are, don't we? As you stop and think about it, throughout your life as a child, you had many different titles. If you were involved in school activities, maybe a play or maybe athletics or honor roll, merit roll, or maybe you were known as the one who was in the corner. I don't know. Then the titles continue to follow you, don't they? As you grow older, you have different titles within your family, different characterizations of who you are within your workplace, within your community, and within your local church family, and the different ways that you serve. I have seen, and so have you, so many people clamoring, so many people desperately seeking for meaning in this life. So many people desiring to find true meaning in this life that I have. They're looking in all sorts of different places, aren't they? This morning, let me remind us that our true identity, our true meaning in life is only found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, you have this amazing title, new creation. New creation. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him." Several years ago when we purchased our house in Wellington, several people came to us who had lived in that area for some time and said, "Do you know who built your house?" They often would start that way, or they would start with, You are blessed. Mr. Mills built your house." We didn't know Mr. Mills. Our house is 50-some years old. Mr. Mills was known in that time as an incredible builder, a wonderful, gifted carpenter, great builder. But you know what? Mr. Mills, as talented as he was, as great of a carpenter as he was, he didn't create our house. He utilized some skills and materials and made that. God created you as his workmanship, his masterpiece, his work of art. You're a new creation. You're God's masterpiece. One other thing I want to remind us about before we begin this morning in our passage. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him." So this morning, if I have trusted Jesus Christ's redeeming work on the cross for my salvation, the Bible says very clearly, I'm a new creation. God's work of art. I'm God's masterpiece. And I'm God's child. Isn't that amazing truth this morning? And I have not met with each one of you individually this week, nor have you met with me. So I don't know who needed to hear that this morning. But maybe you would say, I just needed to hear that encouragement this morning. You don't have any idea what this week has been like, Pastor Peck. You have no idea what this month has been like, what this year has been like, what this life has been like. I needed to be reminded of who I am in Christ this morning. I'm a new creation. God's masterpiece, and I'm his child. If that's all you needed, please don't leave quite yet. There's still some more to the message. But maybe you needed to be reminded and encouraged of that today. I need to be reminded of that often as well. This world wants to put us and jam us into a different kind of mold often, doesn't it? We need to be reminded of who we truly are in Christ Jesus. In light of that, because of who I am in Christ, then what does every day look like? What does my life look like? What will this week look like? What will Monday morning look like? In light of I'm a new creation, God's masterpiece, and I'm his child. Look with me at Psalm chapter 37, and we're going to see a very simple outline. I'm a pretty simple guy. and I need to keep it simple. And the truths of this passage are not simple. They're deep and they run rich. But they are simple enough that the youngest in this room, maybe not quite the youngest, maybe almost the youngest in this room can comprehend the beautiful truths of what God has for us this morning. Will you look with me at Psalm chapter 37? Verse number 1 says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." Verse 4 says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him." And back to the theme earlier, verse 1, "Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass." God, we thank you for this morning that you have given us. Lord, we're thankful for the time we've been able to gather together and worship. Lord, I truly meant it when I said it has been a beautiful time together this morning of singing praise, of worshiping you, of adoring you, of really singing commitments to you this morning. Lord, it's an overflowing and outflowing from our hearts that love you and are so filled with gratitude. Lord, we admit we're not nearly as thankful as we should be because of who you are, because of who we are in you. But Lord, we come to you this morning asking that you would open our eyes to this passage of Scripture. And Lord, that you would encourage our hearts, give us direction even for the days ahead, and these beautiful words of encouragement this morning. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 5 simple truths this morning. 1 do not, or 1 don't, and 4 do's. 1 don't and 4 do's. So let's do the don't first. Don't is found in verse number 1. Do not fret. Do not fret. We read that just a moment ago. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass. That word fret literally means to become furious or to become hot, to become angry or to become anxious. It involves envy in there as well. The admonition here that we see is don't get worked up. Don't get all agitated and excited in a negative way when you see others living a sinful life. Back when this was written, there were all sorts of people who were wealthy, who had riches built up, whether it was in cattle, whether it was in precious jewels. There were those that had all of this stocked up. There were people who had large families. There were people who were powerful, who were in leadership positions. And it was true back then, just as it is now, they desired nothing to do with Christ. They had nothing to do with God. They had nothing to do with righteousness. They had nothing to do with that thing that would please and honor God. And it seemed as though from the outside looking in that they were blessed. That's the same reality that we face today, and we have to be cautious, don't we? All around us, you're surrounded by social media and shows that glorify those things that are very temporary, right? Those things that are chased after that are, back, if you look in verse number 1, are cut off like the grass. You've been mowing your yard every day, it seems like, right now, right? Or your child. Maybe you're blessed at this point in your life where you have a young son or daughter who is mowing every other day right now. And that's a beautiful example, an illustration that fits with where we are right now, that those temporary things, just like you go out and cut, it's gone. They don't last. Here, David is encouraging us, don't be overwhelmed. Don't Don't be all upset. Don't get worked up about that person who seems like has everything. Has everything. Just bought that brand new whatever. Don't become overwhelmed by those things. They are temporary and they pass away. Verse number 2. For they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. So reminded of the brevity of life, aren't we? The brevity of life. Some of you are to that point in life where you're in your 70s, 80s, and you are looking back and maybe even saying, where did my time go? How did it go so fast? When we're teenagers or even younger, when we're thinking that, man, we've got so much time. Oh, that's way out there. I remember thinking to myself, my dad, now I didn't do it disrespectfully, but I remember thinking in my mind, he's so old. You've thought that of your parents, right? Now, you didn't mutter those words probably, but you thought, wow, he is 45. Wow, he's 50. And it's amazing as we reach those points, that seems even, or as we go beyond that, that seems young, doesn't it? The brevity of life, it goes so fast. Job, in speaking to Job, actually, in Job chapter 20, Zophar says, the triumphing of the wicked is short. The joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. We need to really be careful that we keep our minds set on those things that are eternal. Don't allow all of what I talked about with the social media, the news, the shows to infiltrate our minds to where we say, that must be nice. They got everything. They could care less about God. That's the path Satan wants us to go down, is envy and desiring what others would have. Here, we're reminded, do not fret. Don't focus on that fame, money, power. It will be cut down just like your mower cuts that grass. It's temporary. Life is so very short, isn't it? We had a mural painted in our last ministry in the youth room that said, life is short, serve hard. I think it's important that young people be reminded how short life is, but we as not so young and then some as not so much younger even yet need to be reminded, life is short, and what is my focus? Don't be consumed with what's going on around me and in the temporary pleasures or the temporariness of this world. Be careful about the news this week. Don't let that consume you and overwhelm you. The admonition is, do not fret. Okay, 4 do's. You ready? Simple outline. Do not fret. Number 1. Number 2, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Verse number 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. If one desires to go from fretting, it's a move here. If one desires to go from fretting to trusting the Lord, there needs to be a serious change in ownership, doesn't there? Fretting says, I am, I will, I, my. When we change from that fretting to the ownership of trusting the Lord, the change looks like you are, you can, you will, God. It's a big difference, isn't it? Going from self-focus to focusing on the Lord, trusting him, gigantic change in ownership takes place. From fretting to trusting the Lord. Back just a few chapters, if you want to turn there with me, or you have it memorized, probably many of you. Psalm chapter 23 is certainly probably one of the most common, one of the most popular, one of the most well-known chapters in all the Psalms. Look at verse number 1, 2, and 3 with me. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Just as a shepherd would carefully take his sheep to places of provision, safety, and rest. So we, as God's sheep, if you know Christ as your Savior, he will carefully take us to those same places that we can trust him for. Did you see at the end of verse 3? We focused on the first part, trust in the Lord and do good. At the end of the verse, it says, feed on his faithfulness. Feed on his faithfulness. What a great encouragement. If you read past there too fast, you miss it. God's faithfulness doesn't just happen once in a while. My desire is to be faithful, but I blow it at times in my life, don't I? Don't you? I desire to be committed. I desire to be faithful. I desire to not be self-focused, but I blow it at times in my life. I sit there in my recliner when my wife might be working hard in the kitchen. And that I'm fully capable of standing up and walking over and giving her a hand. You say, well, that's not big. Well, yeah, that's an important relationship to me. There are times that with my children, I have blown it. And I've had to go back and seek forgiveness and say, I'm so sorry because I said that word, I said that sentence, the paragraph. That wasn't kind. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. God's faithfulness is completely different. There is no ending to it. It's continuous. He says he will do so. We are born. He's faithful throughout our lives. And one amazing opportunity we have as his children and his families to just stop and think about that. Have you thought about his faithfulness here throughout this week? His faithfulness endures. His faithfulness in guiding us, directing us, keeping us safe, feeding us. We can go on and on the rest of this morning. God's faithfulness. You know what? I can trust him. I can trust him. Number one, do not fret. Number two, trust in the Lord. Number three, if you're taking notes this morning, delight in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Look at verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. If I'm chasing after those things that are temporary, I'm never going to really experience what it means to delight in the Lord, am I? Back to those things that are cut down like the grass, those temporary things. If that's what I am involved in chasing after, I'm truly never going to experience what it means to delight in the Lord to the fullest of what he desires for me. If, however, God is at the center of my life, if my goal or my aim in life is to please him, that's 2 Corinthians 5:9. It's an awesome passage of scripture, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 5:9, where it talks about, I make it my aim. It's that picture of that archer with a target. Doesn't just go out and blindly shoot an arrow anywhere and everywhere. He has a specific target that he's aiming at. It's not even this. It's down to this. And the passage talks about that's our aim, is to please God. So if I'm making it my aim to please God, if I'm making it my aim to glorify him, then I'm going to find delight in the Lord. He hasn't changed, right? He's consistent. He's faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But when that is my aim, when that's my goal, then I truly find delight in the Lord. That means, even today, if you go out to the parking lot and you have a flat tire, you're not going to crumble. Now you're not going to jump up and down and say, yes, high five the person next to you. I got a flat tire. Praise the Lord. But you're not going to crumble, right? Because that's a temporary. We're finding delight truly in the Lord, not in those temporary things of the vehicle. Just to illustrate this point a little bit further, I've had the safety team go and let out Aaron, everybody's tire, just one of everybody's vehicles this morning, just to practice this point, okay? Thought that would be okay. Better stick to my notes. All right. Delight in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. I'm not crumbling when temporary things are going on around me. Because he is at the center of my life. Let me ask you an application question. I like to ask myself hard questions. I don't like the softball questions of myself. It doesn't really help me any. Here's one of those gut check type questions that I asked myself this week, and I thought I would ask you as well. Don't answer this out loud. You can just think about this, but what has got you excited this week? What has got me excited this week? Is it seeing God working in my life and in others' lives? Is it seeing God's hand at work? Is it seeing God's name going forward in the gospel grown and shared? Or has it been those things that simply fade away? That doesn't mean we don't have a happiness about watching our children at a sports game. That's not what I'm talking about. It doesn't mean that we can't go fishing and laugh and have a great time with our buddy or out to eat or things like that. It's that when that has grip on me, that I'm only finding joy, contentment, fulfillment in doing these things, then I'm not delighting in the Lord. Or I'm lacking in my delighting of the Lord. The more I walk with Jesus, the more my love for him grows, the more I am focused on obeying, pleasing, honoring, glorifying him, the more my will aligns to his. As you see, that's the outworking of verse 4. A lot of people want to skip right to the end of verse 4 and forget the first part. He will give me the desires of my heart. Woohoo! And he will as your wills align. That's what it looks like to have the desires of my heart when my will aligns with his will because of walking closely with him daily. He'll change those as we walk with him throughout our lives, won't he? That thing that seems so crucial and important in my life back then, help us come to realize that that's temporary. Focus on eternity. Number one, do not fret. Number two, trust in the Lord. Number three, delight in the Lord. Number four, commit to the Lord. Commit to the Lord. That's over in verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. When I think of commitment, there's a couple of things that come to my mind. One of them is swimming. There are only three ways to enter a swimming pool. That's it. So you decide which one of these three you are. There's only three ways. Now, I have never swam with any of you, so I'm not thinking of any of you specifically with this illustration. But you know who you are. There's three ways. This is it. The first is you come to the edge and you stick your toe in and your foot in and kind of move the water around. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but that's maybe some of you, how you enter a swimming pool. Secondly, the second type of person comes and walks down the steps or the ladder and gets in the swimming pool. There's your first two. You know what the third is, right? You're picturing it right now. How many of you are that third? Well, I told you not to raise your hand. The third gets a running head start. Leaps for all they're worth, tucks their legs, and does the greatest cannonball ever known to man. Those are the three ways to get into a swimming pool. When it comes to commitment to the Lord, he desires all of us, doesn't he? He desires all of us. He doesn't desire, well, I don't, I don't know. Now, if that's you with the swimming, I'm not saying that's where your relationship with Christ is. So don't turn me off now if that's how you get in a pool. But this is no way for the Christian life, for my daily walk. Well, it's kind of, I don't know, temperature, deep, might be a little dirty. God desires all of us. And when it comes to commitment, he is not content with just part of us. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God who desires all of us, all in. This second illustration may burn in your minds and you'll maybe never forget it, because it's kind of funny one of me, something that happened to me. And the reason I share it, I want you to be able to remember this commitment to the Lord. It was a number of years ago I was preaching at a different venue, and I wanted to share about what full commitment looked like. It wasn't even this passage, but I came down off the platform, and there was, sitting right about where Tom is, I'm guessing, was one of my little buddies. He's probably 4 or 5 years old at that time, sitting there listening and just really staring at me. I'm like, he's engaged. He can pass the test with this illustration. I called him up. I said, would you come up here? Oh, yeah. He was all smiles. I'm coming. He came running, flying up. It only took him 0.07 seconds to make it from the fifth row back up to me. I said, here. And I lifted him up, and I stood him on the front row. Now it was really good, because he was standing on a pew, too. It got even better. Pastor Peck called me up, and I get to stand on a pew. His grin went all the way around his head. So excited. I said, now this is what I want you to do. Listen carefully. Are you paying attention? He's so excited. I said, I'm going to count to three. Okay. Now listen, I want you to do something. Okay. So I'm going to count to three. When I say three, I want you to jump and I'll catch you. Okay. You got it? Okay, yep. So everybody's laughing. Everybody knows this young boy. He's got just a little bit of energy. I knew he would be a good choice. Had not talked to him before the service. Going by faith. One of those things, again, not in my notes, that I thought, this is a good illustration, halfway through the message. I said, one. Kind of built it up a little bit. I think I did that dramatic pause. Two. All I said was, that's all I got out, and he leaped at me like a spider monkey. Grabbed me. His elbow hit me in the face, and my glasses went flying that direction. I still remember this very vividly, so I can tell you in great detail. This side had my microphone on this ear. That went that way. And I'll tell you, Steve, I appreciate the sound men, because that soundboard, there's a lot to it. And this is not Steve, but I think that sound man, once the guy starts preaching, you can kind of relax a little bit because you're down to one microphone. He was sitting back. All of a sudden, he jumped up and is grabbing at my sound, because my bar to slide it down, because my microphone is bouncing off of me and just making this horrendous noise. I look at him. His face is right here. He's smiling. He said, did I do it? Turned him around. I said, church family, do you understand? He said, you did excellent. You didn't think about anything other than doing what Pastor Peck told you to do. Regardless of anything that could have happened, I could have dropped you. I wasn't going to drop. Well, if I dropped him, the illustration was really in trouble. Immediate obedience. Full commitment, full surrender. I am yours, God. That is his desire of us, isn't it? Maybe throughout this week, you think about my glasses flying off, my microphone smashing all over, my tie getting yanked, my neck, and that little boy in my arms smiling said, did I do it? You remember commitment this week to our God. Committing my way to the Lord is a conscious, purposeful choice to place my life in the hands of God. back in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. You don't have to turn there. I'll be gone before you get there. Joshua's coming to the end of his life, and it's one of those conversations with his family and children of Israel that's really important for them to hear. Joshua says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When I commit my way to the Lord, I am saying to the Creator of the universe, I trust you. I leave everything in your hands, God. Commit my way to you." In application, another one of those questions, what hinders me from committing to the Lord? What hinders me from committing to the Lord? What gets in the way? What roadblocks are in my life that I have put there that slow me down or that impede my going forward when it comes to committing to the Lord? We all set up different things that we're comfortable with and confident with and that we kind of surround ourselves with and that we feel that are temporary, that we feel will really be secure to us and really be safe. God desires all of us, not just a portion. Number one, do not fret. Number two, trust in the Lord. Number three, delight in the Lord. Number four, commit to the Lord. And fifth and last this morning, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Rest and wait patiently. How do you do with those two things? There's an order here that I think is very appropriate and very important for us today. Not to fret and start there. Don't be consumed or overwhelmed by those things that are temporary in nature, that are gone, that are cut down like the grass. Instead, trust the Lord and find true delight in him and satisfaction, meaning in our lives through our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Remain committed to the Lord. So many people trust Christ as their Savior and him alone for salvation. They place their life in his hands, their very soul, their eternity in God's hands, and then walk farther away from him and don't desire to commit to him and continue to grow in him. As we do that, we can truly experience resting, patiently waiting on him. When I keep from chasing those temporary things of this world, trust the Lord, begin to delight in him, committing to him, intentionally living in such a way that I say, I am yours, I'm in your hands. What rest comes. What incredible rest comes. Peace and joy that's hard to even explain at times to this world, isn't it? This morning, as we go from here, I'm not sure which one of those truths, which one of those encouragements, which one of those admonitions jumps out at you. But be reminded this morning, as you go throughout this week, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the Bible says that you're a new creation. You're his masterpiece. You're his child. Therefore, in light of that, let's walk very closely with him together this week. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning that you've given us. God, we're so blessed. We're so thankful to be your child. God, not because we deserved it or we have done anything to merit it or on our own have achieved it. We recognize it's your grace. It's Jesus' work on the cross. Thank you for drawing us to yourself and for radically changing our lives. Now as we go throughout our days, would you help us, Lord, to be reminded of Psalm 37. Lord, will you help us to trust you, delight in you, commit to you, and then rest in you this week. We need your help and strength to do that very thing. God, thank you for these folks this morning. I pray that you would be with us as we leave here. May we be light in this very dark world. It's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.